Hallelujah. I spoke with the workers this morning and oh my God. I spent all night preparing two messages, one for the workers and one for the church, as it were. But some elders have swayed me that I have to preach what I preach to the workers, to the hearing of the whole church. And I think it's apt, and I want it to be open. We have prayed that by the grace of God, we'll have an encounter with the Word of God today. We are still in resurrection mode. Every day is resurrection mode. Praise the Lord. I want to talk on a topic I have titled, Why Me? Why Me? Lord, I pray that you will breathe upon your word. Lord, I pray that your hand will be rested on me. Lord, I pray that you make my mouth like the pen of a ready writer. Let me not say my own thoughts. Let me say what exactly you want to be said that will better the lives of your people, that will raise us up a mighty army, that will help us to be connected with you, with your plans for our lives. In Jesus' name. Those who believe say what? Amen. Mark Gospel, chapter 15. My title is, Why Me? Why Me? Why Me? Many of us have asked that question. Either when you are going through a challenge, why me? Or maybe you are a student, you are the one that the professor is always pointing at. It's like, why me? One of my son's lecturer was here also for this weekend from Colombia. Oh, and he said, he came to introduce himself to me and said, oh, I teach Carl, one of your sons in class. He said, Carl knows everything. I said, don't mind him, he's a show off. He said, he's always the one that wants to answer the questions. And when he does answer the questions, then he will kick in his British accent. And everybody in class is like, that they just love to hear him and listen to him. I took Carl to school. As soon as we stopped, get his bags out, girls trooped to help him. I'm like, Carl, why you, of all people? I traveled to Italy. I entered a store, and there was this lady who began to talk to me and said, oh, she needs a husband. Well, I'm off the market anyway. I said, well, I can maybe my son. So I showed her the picture of my family. And the only person she pointed to was Carl. Why this one? You get the gist. That could be on the positive side. But then there are also this negative side that puts pressure on you. Why am I the one pastor is always calling to do this? Brother Prince, we can say, why me? Because I pick on him. And love makes me pick on him. That's the truth. I pick on him a lot. I watch him a lot more than I watch on anybody else. You know. Anyway, let me read the scripture before I get carried away with story. I read from verse 16 through to 21. Mark 15. Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, And they called together the whole garrison, and the clothing with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and began to salute, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Then they struck him on the head, that is Jesus, with a reed and spat on him. And bowing the knee, they worshipped him, that is mocking him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple of him. Purple is like royal blue. And put his own clothes on him, which they had torn anyway, and led him out to crucify him. Verse 21. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. May God bless his word. Concerning your birth, concerning your conception, my conception and birth, it was not by chance. You are God's plan. Your parents may not plan you, but God planned you. Praise the Lord. The same thing with Jesus. Nothing happens in Jesus' life that was by chance. It was prophesied. It was announced. And several things about him. Nothing by chance. That is why you don't look at yourself and think maybe you are enjoying a level of success right now, and you think, well, I'm here by chance. Most of us are immigrants who have become naturalized citizens in the United States of America. We left our home countries and came to America with a plan in mind. This is my plan. This is why I'm coming to America. That was your plan. Because you are a child of God, God orders your steps even without you knowing. A night before, Jesus was scourged, he was mocked, he was slapped, his beard was pulled. They did all kinds of things to him. They had flogged him, they had broken his body. The following day, he was going to be led to Golgotha. There was another man who started his journey 3 months before. His name was Simon of Cyrene. Some people believe that he was one of the Jews in the Jewish settlement in Libya. Cyrene is still part of Libya today, but it's no longer called Cyrene. It's called Tripoli. So he was a Libyan. Took his journey 3 months with Alexander his son and Rufus his son, who were probably age 12 or so. And they were coming to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. Jesus was crucified on Passover. They wanted to go and worship God. This man loved God to the extent that he would journey over 900 miles on foot. Some people still do it in Africa. If you go to East Africa, some of the Maasai's that are born again, they don't have cars. When there's a conference somewhere, they will travel 1 month 2 weeks, 1 week on foot to get to the crusade ground on time. Simon was the same. I'm going to worship God with my two sons. This man had an influence, a good influence on his boys. We are going to serve God. I'm going to show you what a real man is. A real man serves God. A real man loves God. A real man worships God. And the day he got to Jerusalem to go to the temple, he saw a mob, he saw a crowd. He saw a man under duress, being flogged, being mocked, being beaten, and what have you, carrying a big cross on his back and on his shoulder. The weight of our sins was put upon Jesus. Jesus was flogged not as God. He was flogged as a man. Jesus was spat upon not as God, but as a man. Because he took upon humanity. That's the only way he could bear our sins. Simon did not know Jesus. Like many people who were there, did not even know who he was. Some have received miracles of feeding from him, miracles of their dead being raised to life. But they had no personal relationship like the apostles. Even the apostles who had a relationship with him, many of them had fled. And here was Jesus coming. And here was Simon coming, 3 months' journey. Not knowing that it was coming on a collision course with destiny. You left where you were. And one way or the other, God brought you to this church. And you thought it was by chance. Maybe you are even visiting today. And you thought, well, I'm just visiting. You can't visit the place where truth is being preached and your life remains the same. Hallelujah. God, it was part of God's plan that I will be standing on this pulpit today. Because there were times that I could have been dead. It is part of God's plan that you will be here today where you are sitting down and listening to me. You didn't wake yourself up. You may have driven yourself here. The Spirit of the Lord led you here. Hallelujah. You are on a path of destiny. You are where you receive encouragement for your purpose to be fulfilled. Simon thought he was going to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. But God has something else assigned for his life. Praise the Lord. Right when Simon got to a particular point, Jesus got to that same point. And right there and then, before Simon, Jesus couldn't carry the cross anymore. It was too heavy for him. He was weak in the body. His strength was failing him. He fell under the weight of the cross. His eyes probably must have caught Simon's eyes and looked at him intently, but with pain and sorrow in his eyes. And Simon would be wondering, who is this man? What did he do? Seeing something of such savagery may not be new to him. Because where he was probably coming from, they are beheading people. They are cutting their legs. They are cutting their hands. But who is this guy that this mob is following? No sooner a Roman soldier came to Simon and said to him, hey, you,
come here. Carry the cross. He didn't come from Tripoli to Jerusalem to carry the cross. He came for the Passover. He was going to slay a lamb for himself and his family. But here he was, unknown to him, standing before the Passover lamb himself. He was forced to carry Jesus' cross. Sometimes God can impose himself on you. He does it in different ways. It can weigh on your spirit, man. Nudge you severally. Some of us, we've been struggling in our heart whether we should serve God or not serve God. Let me tell you something. It's a sacrilege. If the redemption that Jesus died for is just for you and I to come to church and sit for a couple of minutes or 1 hour and a half and then go home, and we see that as the end of our Christianity, that is a sacrilege. Something is missing. You've had messages encouraging you, come and serve God. Some of us pray, the only prayer we know how to pray is the prayer of God, bless me, bless me, bless me. We don't even remember our neighbors. We don't remember our neighborhood. We don't pray for our pastor. We don't pray for the church. We don't pray to advance God's kingdom. Nothing. Maybe you are even here. You are struggling whether you should pay tithe or not. Oh, if I give offering, maybe it's your offering that the pastor is using to buy his suit and his shoes. Like I said to the workers, this year I'm going to teach on finances again. It's an every year thing. And I'm going to put on the screen my giving, my wife and I, our giving last year. We're going to put it on the screen. It's an official letter we received from our church treasurer. Everybody received it. Not only that, whatever we have given from January this year till the day I'm going to preach, I want them to put it on the screen so that you can see it. Because I believe I will be authorized to teach you. And then you will know that I'm not using your tithe or your offering to buy my shoe or my suit. Praise the Lord. Let there be meat in my house. The chair you are sitting on is not free. This electricity is not free. Heat coming from the HVAC is not free. That's the money we use. The construction work going on all around, still going on. That's the money we used. I called here the other day. Truth must be told, brethren. Oh, we are short of $1,700 to ship the screen and some lights for the church. Some people already paid for the lights and the screen. The whole church needed to raise $1,700. The whole church raised $957. And I'm wondering, where is your level of sacrifice? This screen, when it comes here, you are going to be the one to enjoy it. The light, you are going to be the one to, wow, oh, this is nice, this is lovely. Some people paid for it. And God has been weighing on you, but you are still rejecting it. You are still rejecting it. And when you have a problem, the first person you call is God. Oh, pastor, pray for me. Maybe I will have to. Anytime somebody now calls me, pray for me, I'll say, let me see your tithe record. Can't be robbing Peter to pay Paul. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Your hallelujah is low.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Why was Simon called? Why was he the one called? Why are you the one we are saying give? Why are you the one we are saying serve? Why are you the one you can't join ushering department? You can't join children's department. What are you doing with your time for God? You can't join cleaning department. You can't join the choir. 16-year-old boy student, join choir. Why was it Simon? Because he was there. The soldiers may have compelled him, like the Bible said in verse 21. They may have forced it on him, but it was part of God's plan for Simon. And not only Simon, it was part of God's plan for a future that was yet to show up.
And I'm going to show you some of it.
Simon was there. You are here. You are not here by chance. You are not here by accident. You are here by providence. You are here to fulfill purpose. You are here for kingdom advancement. You are here so that God can be glorified in your life.
There's no accident in God. Hallelujah. No accident. Simon's plan was Passover. Now he's carrying cross. In his mind, he probably would have been so disappointed. Oh, I'm going to miss the sacrifice. I'm going to miss this. Not knowing that he needn't sacrifice anymore. Hallelujah. Every sacrifice was right in front of him. Everything that self-sacrifice for sins and everything was right there before him. In his disappointment, God brought him into divine appointment. Hallelujah. Oh, sometimes you are so frustrated. When is God this, da, 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 da? Whereas you are there and God's plan is just been unfolding before you. May you not miss it in Jesus' name. I say, may you not miss it in Jesus' name. Amen.
So, Simon did not only see. You know, another thing you need to consider is this. Simon was not part of the people who say, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Majority of those who were there were saying, crucify him. Simon was not saying, crucify him. So God must have chosen him. Do you know Simon was innocent? Huh? He saw Jesus. Jesus looked at him. At that moment, Simon was not saying, please heal me, touch me. He was told, serve, 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 sacrifice. Carry the cross it was very heavy. It wasn't weightless. The blood of Jesus has rubbed on the cross. The blood has rubbed on the cross, the blood on his back, the blood that he has shed from his back, has rubbed on the cross. And here was Simon. He carried the cross. Oh, he carried the cross and the blood, the real blood of Jesus smeared all over his body. Ah, would you not have imagined to be Simon? You today, you are pleading the blood. I plead the blood. Simon did not need to plead blood. The blood was on him. Praise the Lord. The blood was on him. The blood that saved the whole world had rubbed off on his body. Hallelujah. His hands must have touched the flesh of Jesus, real life, at the point where Jesus was going to die. And he was there. At that point, heaven refused to help Jesus. Heaven turned his back. God, Father God, the Godhead turned his back on Jesus. The earth was shouting, crucify him. We are not helping him. The Roman soldiers wouldn't help anyway because they even saw him as inferior to them.
But God provided somebody at that very point. The truth of the matter was, if Simon felt he was helping God, the truth of the matter is, God was actually helping Simon. Anytime you think, oh, well, they don't even appreciate the things I'm doing for the church. No, no, no. It's the things that God is doing in your life. It's the things that God is preparing for your future, for your children. Because God doesn't forget seed. He doesn't forget sacrifice. Oh, I can stand here. You know, do you know what I did? At least when I was eulogizing everybody for this conference, did I mention myself? I could, and I have reasons to, but who cares? Because I knew I wasn't doing it for God. God was doing it for me. God was doing it for a future. I'm sowing whatever seed I sowed, the time I served, I'm sowing it for the future that is yet to come. If you must know, I was here to clean the bathrooms. I cleaned the bathrooms myself. I swept the floor. Nobody was here. I didn't need any applause for that. I didn't see myself too big to do that. Who am I to be too big to clean toilet in church? Don't I clean toilet in my house? Hallelujah. God prepared him for a great future. If only, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, touch your neighbor, look them eyeball. If only you knew God's plan for your life. If only, you see, we are so myopic, we are short-sighted. Evangelize, no. Make yourself useful somewhere. No. I have too many things to do. My time is precious. Okay. The time is coming when you won't have time at all. And all the time will belong to God. And you will have wished, oh, may you not live your life in regret. In Jesus' mighty name. Let me tell you. Those of us who are workers right now, or under the classification of workers. That is, if you are working at all, if you are serving, some people are workers, but they are not working any work. Praise the Lord. You know? We need to fellowship with each other after service. Don't be in a hurry. The appointment you think you have on a Sunday, get to know your brethren. Get to know your brethren. Hallelujah. As you are serving in Wisdom Assembly, you are fulfilling purpose. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you, God is calling you to something bigger than you, something greater than yourself. If your life is all about yourself, you have already missed it. You've missed it. God is saying, come up, come up. Paul said, lay down your body as a living sacrifice. Your mind, your spirit, soul, your talents. How can you know how to do something in the church and you are waiting for somebody to tell you before you do it? How can you have capacity and ability to do something in church and you are waiting for somebody to beg you before you do it? Our head usher is a medical doctor. Our cleaning head of cleaning department, she's a nurse. Our assistant is a nurse. And I'm sure they are well paid. Our head of men's ministry is a medical doctor. My assistant pastor is a medical doctor. Which doctor are you? No, it's true. Which doctor are you? Our head of word and sound is an engineer. My armor bearer is an engineer. What are you engineering in the church? Nothing. Because, praise the Lord. I know that some of our ushers, they are nurses. They can do better. And I pray God they will do better. In Jesus' name. Amen. The man taking picture is a nurse. The one taking picture during the weekend is an engineer. The one who is head of a music department is a music engineer. What are you? Which engine are you working on? That you are so busy. You are extremely busy. I don't have time. Julia, I needed to mention her name. You know, that girl does not cease to amaze me. I pick on her a lot. Anytime I pick on you, it's because I love you. I'm not fighting you, it's because I love you. She, from the day she got to this church, a student, she doesn't miss practice. When she's not at work, she's in church. Why are you giving yourself unnecessary excuse? Whereas, God forbid an emergency in your life, you have time for it. You don't know how God is leading you. And you don't need to know. Just need to respond to Him. Praise the Lord. There's a future bigger than yourself that God is planning for you. In rounding up, let's look at Simon the Cyrenian down the line after he had died. Then a man came on the scene who was a killer in the name of God. His name was Paul. Paul became converted. Paul fell into certain hands that developed him. One of them was Barnabas, the son of consolation. And then there were so many others that Paul mentioned. And here in Romans 16, verse 13, let's read. Romans 16, verse 13. This is Paul speaking. He's a great Rufus. This is the Rufus who was with his father when he saw his father being humiliated for the future, carrying the cross of Jesus. Paul said, great Rufus. What did you write there? Chosen. Did you see that? Where was he chosen? From his mother's womb. Where was his encounter? The day he saw Jesus fall and his father carried the cross. The blood on his father must have touched Rufus too. Because they must have hugged their dad too. Praise the Lord. My son will have hugged me. Amen. And I always notice something that, I don't know, by Holy Spirit or so. When I preach well, the way my son always hugged me, it's like, deep boy knew that I preached well. So if he doesn't hug me today, you know I didn't preach you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Great Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. His mother is my mother. So, Mrs. Simon received the same grace that was released upon Simon. Simon took that grace home. He lighted his family. His family knew the Lord. His wife was sold out. Then his wife, Mama Simon, became a mentor to Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul's mentor, because before he said, and my mother, it wasn't because of the food. She mentored Paul. Paul that wrote 3/4 of the gospel. Who knew that day that man carried that cross? His life and lineage
We connect to the great apostle Paul.
Simon saw Jesus. Paul never saw Jesus. Paul never had a personal one-on-one with Jesus.
But he saw Jesus
in Simon's wife,
in Simon's children, who moved from Tripoli to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Rome,
where they nurtured Paul. Hallelujah. You never know what your seed will influence in the future. Anything I do, by the grace of God, anything my wife and I does or do, many times it's not for the now. Because we have children. We have five. We have a grandchild. We are going to have grandchildren. It's for their future. They are going to go places where we will never be.
But guess what? I know that favor is waiting for them there. I know that compassion is waiting for them there. I know that breakthrough is waiting for them. You know why? Because their father and their mother sowed seeds. We are sowing it for their future.
How much food do I want to eat? How many clothes do I want to wear? I was still telling my wife yesterday. I said, all my clothes, I feel disgusted. I feel like puking. God be glorified. I have too many clothes. They are too much. I have too many shoes. They are too much. I don't even know what to do with them. Anytime I enter my closet, I'm confused. So sometimes the one that is near the door. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God's blessings outweighs your seed. God's blessings outweighs your sacrifice.